Well, hey, welcome to the HVBC podcast. My name's Doc. I'm the lead pastor here at Hawkesbury Valley Baptist Church, and I'm so glad you're tuning in and streaming this message today because we are in the home straight of our Reclaiming the Margin series. This is the fifth message in this series, and today we're going to finish our SPACE acronym with the letter E, and we're going to talk about what that means for us today. But I've had a great time really delivering these messages and preparing them. I hope they've been really beneficial to you as we collectively sought to come back into the space that God has for us within His prescribed limits and boundaries for our lives, because I believe God desires goodness for us. He desires that our lives would reflect a beauty and a blessing and a benefit that only He can give. And I believe that we discover the goodness of God for our lives as we live within the space, the margins, and the boundaries that God prescribes for our lives. And so, I don't know if you've ever watched nature or an artist or an athlete that's in rhythm. It's a thing of beauty, isn't it? You know, watching something or someone do what they were created to do, there's something beautiful, there's something graceful about a life or a thing that's in rhythm. And, you know, I want to encourage you, that's what your life can look like. Your life can resemble beauty, blessing, and benefit. Your life can resemble goodness if we were to come into the pattern and the space that God has for us. So this series has really been about equipping you with a framework for life that has biblical space and biblical shape to it. A verse that we've read often through this series, Psalm 119, verse 68. Psalmist says, God, you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. And those statutes are the limits and the boundaries that God prescribes for our lives. And He says, you are good and you do good. And I believe, church, there's a goodness to be found. There's a goodness to be found as we come within the limits that God has for our lives. And so we've been looking at this framework. We've been working our way through the SPACE acronym. S was for seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness. P is for pruning. A was for accountability. C is for contentment. And if you haven't heard any of those messages, I encourage you to go back and catch up on those. But if you're in this place today and you're maxed out, you're burnt out, or you're stressed out, if you're feeling overwhelmed, overworked, or overcommitted, maybe in your time, maybe in your finances, maybe in your headspace or heart space, this series has been for you, that you might reclaim the margins, that you might come back into the space and the shape that God has for you. And so the first message in this series was really the why. It was the why. Our goalposts are God's kingdom and righteousness. We are living for God. And then the P, the A, and the C, the pruning, the accountability, and the contentment, has really been the what. You know, what do we have to practically do to be able to come into this space that God has for us? And I'm going to finish this message with the how, because E is for empowerment, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul said in Philippians 4:13 that he was able to practice contentment because he was empowered by the strength of Jesus. It's important that we remember that goodness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a result of God divinely working in us and through us. It's not a result of our effort, our endeavor, our striving, our stretching, our stressing. It's a result of a life that's surrendered and in step with the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke a lot about who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does in John chapters 14 through 16. He said the Holy Spirit's our helper, our teacher, our reminder. He gives us peace. He witnesses to us. He brings conviction, guidance. He speaks and supplies. And it amazes me that for somebody that Jesus spoke so clearly and plainly about, for somebody, the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised would come and play all of these important roles in our lives, it just amazes me that so many Christians would reject, resist, or refuse the Holy Spirit and all that the Scriptures teach us about Him. You see, before Christ, the Holy Spirit was given to a select few who were described as prophets, priests, and kings. These three groups of people were the intermediaries between God and people before Jesus came on the scene. But Jesus came, and when he died on the cross, we read in the story that the veil in the temple was torn. And what this meant was that what had been prophesied in the book of Joel chapter 2 was coming to pass, which says this in verses 28 to 29. It says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit." Now, this isn't my theory or my interpretation. This is what Peter said was happening in his first sermon in Acts chapter 2. So right now, we are in the age of the Holy Spirit, where God's Spirit has been poured out and given to all who believe in and call upon the name of Jesus. With that said, I think many believers today find themselves in the same boat as the Ephesian believers in Acts chapter 19. And I'm going to read from this story. And we read it in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 7. Follow along with me. It says this, "And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples, and he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism.' And Paul said, 'John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all." These disciples had turned their heart to God through repentance and water baptism, but they had never heard nor received the Holy Spirit. You might be listening to this message right now, and you might be in one of these few groups of people. You might be in the group that have heard and believe in Jesus, but you've never received the Holy Spirit. You might be the sort of person who does know about the Holy Spirit, but for whatever reason, you've either refused or rejected him. Or you might be someone who has received the Holy Spirit, but right now, you're not receptive or responsive to his power and presence in your life. But the truth and promise of God's word is that we have been given God's very own Spirit to help teach, guide, remind, counsel, assure, strengthen, and empower us for the life God has called and created us for. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the ability to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus' final words to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Just as a side note, if you're more interested in speculating about the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed and holds in secret, rather than knowing and experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness for Jesus in the world, I'm just going to suggest to you today that we should flip that around, that we should flip the script and be more interested in experiencing and knowing the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Jesus in the world than we are about speculating about the times or the seasons. Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but you will receive power." You know, the tall poppy syndrome in Australia, the Aussie battler mentality, it can often be a stumbling block for us to receive what God has for us. This word power. But I can't get away from the truth that God wants his people to be empowered and to live in power. This word power in the Greek, it's dynamis. It means force, miraculous power, ability, abundance, meaning, might, and strength. And if we were to boil the meaning of this word dynamis, power, down, it would mean these three things: moral power, miraculous power, and material power. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon a life, he gives us these three types of power. Firstly, moral power, the ability to overcome our flesh, the ability to live in holiness and righteousness and in the life that God calls us to. So we might think from time to time, oh, you know, this is just who I am. You know, I grew up this way, or I've got this sin in my life, or I've got this addiction or habit. But the Holy Spirit gives us moral power to live moral lives. The Holy Spirit also gives us miraculous power. You know, for each of us, either in our own personal lives or in the lives of somebody that we know, we all know somebody that needs a miracle. And the Holy Spirit gives us miraculous power. He gives us supernatural power and ability to see miracles take place. Many people who are listening to this message, you've seen God do miracles in you and through you. You've seen God do miracles in people's lives because people were empowered by the Holy Spirit to perform those miracles. And finally, material power. You know, God gives us practical resource, practical power to be able to overcome the challenges and the things that we face in life. God doesn't just give us moral power and miraculous power. He gives us material power as well. That may come in the form of natural provision. You know, provision of resources, provision of energy, provision of wisdom, provision of direction, provision of peace, all of that sort of stuff that gives us a practical direction or ability to step forward. God gives us those three types of power. I can't say it enough. God wants you empowered. God wants you to live in moral, miraculous, and material power. And when the Holy Spirit comes into a life, we get all of the above. We get the moral power. We get the miraculous power. We get the material power. Everything that we need to be able to live out the will of God as witnesses of Jesus on this earth, the Holy Spirit provides for us. We aren't called to, and we certainly can't do life alone. There's nothing and nobody who can help, who can teach, strengthen, and empower us for the life God called and created us to better than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is personal and therefore relational. The Holy Spirit, he's not an impersonal force that comes upon a person like a magical power. He is like the Father and the Son. He is personal and relational. The Gospel Coalition puts it this way: the Holy Spirit is a person and not simply an influence. And so it's through the conduits of faith and relationship by which we experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Faith and relationship. So we're going to finish this series with some instruction about how to nurture a growing relationship with the Holy Spirit. But I'll start by sharing a few stories from my own life. You know, I remember being at age 16, fairly new believer. I'd only really known about the grace of God for less than a year. And I remember being at a party, a typical teenage party. And, you know, there was some, let's call it communion, that was coming around the circle. And I remember as the communion was approaching me, I remember hearing this voice inside my heart that said, "What are you doing here?" It was the first time I'd clearly sensed the conviction and the voice of the Holy Spirit working in my life. I got up from the communion circle. I went out the back gate of the place that we were at, and I just had time with God. And I said, "God, I'll live for you. God, help me to overcome my habits. Help me to overcome the situations that I've put myself in." And then, you know, I remember being in my late 20s. I'd worked at a place for almost a decade. And I remember I was at an event and God said, "This is your last time here. This is your last time here." And I heard it as clear as day in my heart of hearts. And that was God preparing me to make a decision to be able to take steps of faith towards the next thing that he had for me. And then I remember being with Amity in my mid-30s, and we went out to the Gables, and we were looking at land to perhaps buy and build a house there. And I remember standing on the deck of the sales center looking out over the land, and I clearly sensed God say to me, "I brought you here not to build a house, but to plant a church." And I heard it so clearly. And a few short years later, we planted New Hope Box Hill in Box Hill. And that church is still going today and has a great future, not too far from that veranda that God spoke to me about. And then just last year, I remember God putting a question in my heart. He said, "What would you do if I asked you to?" And then fill in the blank. He was speaking to me about a specific area of my life. He just asked me a question. So Amy and I began to play around with that question and seek his answers around that question. And the answer to that question has become one of the most wonderful things that we've done as a family in terms of making some adjustments and making some changes. And then I remember just recently just feeling a bit discouraged and a bit downhearted with, some things that were going on. And I remember the Holy Spirit reminding me of King David and the scripture that said, so David encouraged himself in the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit bringing comfort and a reminder into my heart at a place of discouragement. Now, none of those stories, and I've just told you four or five stories, none of those stories are spooky or forceful. None of them are unscriptural. None of them are weird, off-putting, intangible, or impractical. It's just God's Spirit relating to somebody who loves and trusts him. And I can honestly say that each and every day of my life, I have interactions and conversations with the Holy Spirit. And I'm empowered by those interactions. I'm empowered in my relationships. I'm empowered in the way I do life in my community. I'm empowered in the way I go about my ministry. It's not spooky or impersonal or impractical. It's just very tangible and real to me. And this is the type of relationship that every believer can have with the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to say a few things about how we can cultivate this relationship with the Holy Spirit. The first is this: we've got to receive the Holy Spirit. Paul asked the Ephesian believers, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 13, he said, if you, even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Maybe you haven't known to ask. Maybe you haven't felt worthy to ask. But the Father wants to give you the Holy Spirit. And we see in the case of Acts chapter 19 that God desired these people to know about and ask for the Holy Spirit before he gave the Holy Spirit to them. God didn't just impose himself upon people. God didn't come in uninvited. God didn't come in unaware. He came in as a result of a receptivity and an invitation and a request for the Holy Spirit to come and be a part of these people's lives. It's important that we know that God will not force his Spirit upon us. I believe he wants us to have a faith, a desire, and a receptivity to him before the Holy Spirit comes upon us, as is described in Acts chapter 19. You know, our relationship with the Holy Spirit starts with receptivity and it grows with receptivity. It's not a one-time thing. It's being continually open and receptive to his presence and his power. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 19, Paul gives a list of beautiful instructions to this church in Thessalonica. And he says this: do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Have you thought about that verse before? Do not quench the Spirit. We're talking about God himself. We're talking about all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present God. And Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. Don't quench God. Isn't that a wild thought? To think that we might quench the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. But it's true. We can stifle. We can suppress, we can close ourselves off to the Holy Spirit at any moment. And often we do when we ignore the reminders, when we go against the conscience, when we refuse to obey his leading or his prompting. I wonder if you remember when we used to have to, adjust the aerial on the top of a television set to fine tune the reception. And I think it's a helpful picture of how attuned and receptive are we to the Holy Spirit. Are we receiving him loud and clear? Are we receptive to him, or do we need to fine-tune a little bit? Do we need to clear away some of the space and some of the noise so that we can listen and be receptive to him? Will we fine-tune our relationship with the Holy Spirit? Here's the second thing. After being receptive to the Holy Spirit or receiving the Holy Spirit, The second is this, we've got to recognize the Holy Spirit. John 10 tells a story where Jesus is describing himself as the good shepherd, and it says he walks on ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice and recognize his call. And in verse 14 of the Amplified Bible in John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd, and I know without any doubt those who are my own, and my own know me, and they have a deep personal relationship with me." A deep personal relationship with me. Do you know, we recognize the Holy Spirit through a deep personal relationship with God. And the more that we find ourselves in the place of prayer, the word, worship, stillness, silence, in solitude, resting in God, listening to him, being aware of his presence, practicing the presence of God, I believe the more we begin to recognize the Holy Spirit in our everyday life. The more we recognize the Holy Spirit, the more we're able to receive that strength for contentment, to make wise decisions, to courageously lean into accountability relationships, to know what God's kingdom and righteousness look like, both zoomed in and zoomed out, when we know and recognize the Holy Spirit. I mean, imagine after 22 years of marriage that I didn't recognize my wife's voice, that I didn't discern different tones or understand and perceive different body language, if I didn't yet know her heart. Now, I recognize my wife because I love her. I've made it a goal to know her and have a deep personal relationship with her. And as strange as it sounds, we are called to love God even more than our spouses, our children, those who are nearest and dearest to us on this earth. We are called to give God our first love. And so our desire to know and become more intimately familiar with God should exceed that of any human relationship we have. Recognizing God shouldn't be hard. When it comes to our love for God and our desire to have deep, intimate relationship, recognition of God's voice, recognition of God's presence, recognition of God's power in our lives, that should just happen as we build this deep, close, intimate relationship with him. And here's the third thing. Firstly, we've got to receive the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we've got to learn to recognize the Holy Spirit. And finally, we've got to be responsive to the Holy Spirit. A lack of response will erode any relationship. I mean, imagine if I stopped taking Amity's calls or responding to her text, or when she calls to me at home, if I just ignored her. A lack of response will erode any relationship. And Jesus asks us to be responsive to him. Jesus asks us to show our love for him through a responsive obedience. So when he calls, let's answer. When he asks, let's respond. When he prompts, let's act. When he challenges, let's rise. When he reveals, let's believe. When he offers, let's receive. When he gifts, let's put the gift to use. When he teaches, let's learn and apply. When he reminds, let's pay attention. When he strengthens, let's act like it. Let's be responsive to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And there's been times on my journey where I haven't felt close to the Holy Spirit. And I can recognize and I confess that those times where I'm not feeling it are the times where I've been unresponsive to him. You see, God never moves. We move from him. God doesn't move away from us. We move away from him. And so I want to encourage you. Let's remain close and highly responsive to the Holy Spirit. If you want to live the life that's empowered by the Holy Spirit, and believe me, you can't experience the goodness of God without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Left in and of ourselves, we wander off beyond the limits, out into dangerous spaces. But with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can stay within God's limits and boundaries for our lives and experience more of his goodness towards us. So it's been a joy to deliver these messages. I pray that at the end of this series right now that you'll be encouraged and challenged, but here's how I want to end. I want to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. So right where you're at, maybe you're in your car, maybe you're at home in a room or on a walk or whatever it might be, I'm going to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit right now. So if you're open, if you're ready to receive, if you're ready to be responsive, then I want to encourage you just right now to open your heart. And I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I'm believing that God's Spirit is going to come upon you in a fresh or a brand new way, that he's going to fill you from head to toe with his grace and his empowerment to live the life that he's called you to live as witnesses for Christ in the world. So I'm going to pray, and wherever you're listening, just receive. So Father, I pray for every person whose heart is open and turned towards you right now. Lord, I pray that you will fill them afresh with the power and the presence and the reality of your Holy Spirit. Lord, come upon them. Give them grace. Give them love. Give them peace. And give them the power that comes with being filled by your Spirit. Father, give us the moral power, miraculous power, and material power to live the life that you've called us to live. And so, Holy Spirit, right now, like a flood, like a wind, like a fire, come upon your people, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks for being a part of this series. If you do want to join an accountability group, and we've been calling them Space Cadets, I want to encourage you to email doc@hvbc.org.au, and I'll put you in the chat, and I'll send you some resources and connect you to some others as well as we journey this out, because we don't just want these messages to go in one ear and out the other. We want to do the hard work of applying these messages and living and reclaiming the space, reclaiming the margins that God has for us. And so I pray these messages have been a blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you again soon. God bless.